shapes our attitudes, it shapes our thoughts, it shapes how we interact with one another and how we interact with people outside of the church. And so we've been working on making sure to try to get the culture right. Culture is like a recipe in a dish, you know what I mean? And when the culture gets right, the seasoning is just right. And when you taste it, it tastes good. Some of y'all don't know how to cook, so you may need to listen. You ever had somebody food and it ain't seasoned right? It just don't taste right. And that's what it's like when you go into some churches. The culture just ain't right. You're going in and it's stale, and nobody says hallelujah, and nobody says good morning, and people looking at you all sideways. You know what I mean? They looking at how you dress and your hat on instead of focusing in on worshiping God. They are in all types of other stuff. And so we've been focusing on making sure that the culture's right, getting the seasoning right. And so we believe there's at least six things that help shape a healthy culture in a church. And so we've been talking about these six things. We call them the open door way. At least six values that help shape a healthy culture. And the first one we looked at was, as a church, we live to serve. Somebody say, we live to serve. As a church, we need to make sure we have an attitude that we live to serve, that we aren't forced to serve, we don't have to be compelled to serve, that we live to serve, and that we see everything that we do as an act of worshiping God. Amen. That means not at church, that means even in your home, that you live to serve. It's easy to do it at church, it's not quite as easy to do it at home. And then we said the second value that we looked at that says that we passionately pursue excellence. That means in everything that we do, it should be excellent. Anybody like anything that's raggedy? In everything that we do, it should be excellent. Every program on your job, if you stamp envelopes, it should be excellent. If you clean the bathrooms, it should be excellent. Whatever it is, we should be pursuing excellence in everything that we do. The third value that we looked at is the one that we're going to be talking about today. And if you bring that up, is that we give generously of our time, talent, and treasure. Read this with me. It says, we honor God by willingly using our gifts to further His purpose while experiencing the financial freedom to abundantly sow into the work of this ministry. Now, in previous years, I said we give of our time, talent, and treasure. In previous years, we've talked about time. In previous years, we talked about talent. And this year, we're talking about treasure. The amens went down already. We talking about treasure. We talking about money. We talking about moolah. We talking about cash. And I know already when y'all come to church and you hear the pastor talking about money, everybody tune out. But you need to be listening to what I'm talking about today. Because God has a purpose for money. Look at your neighbor and say, God has a purpose for money. And I need to talk about money because the truth of the matter is data tells us that y'all ain't giving. Amen. Just keep looking straight and you know that we're not talking about you. I read a statistic. I shared it with you all last time. It said that 10 to 25% of people in a normal congregation are tithing. That means anywhere between 75 to 90% of people in here today are not tithing. I got a few people say, go ahead and preach it, Pastor. So we got to talk about money because there are blessings associated with financial principles that God has. Right? And I've heard all types of stuff why people don't tithe. People have all these reasons of why they don't tithe. And the purpose of this message and the last one I did was to try to address these myths because I know for a fact that there are blessings associated with those who are obedient to God. And because I believe it and I've seen it, that's why I'm trying to share it with you. Amen. So this message is really geared at addressing some of these myths around tithing and why people don't tithe, right? And so the first one that we looked at, if you remember, I'm just going to hit these first four really quick. The first one, because see, I know some of y'all, everybody got a reason why they don't do something. Would you agree? Everybody in here got a reason. And so I want to make sure that your reasoning is lining up with what God says, right? So the first myth that I have to deal with is that when I give at church, I am tithing. That's false. Well, it may be false, not necessarily. Because the truth of the matter is, some of you think because when you come to church, you give $20 and $30 and $50 and $300 and $500 or $10,000. Praise God for all of you who can do that. Some of you think when you come and give that you are tithing, but you need to understand the truth. That may not necessarily be true. Because a tithe, if you look in the Bible, is the Hebrew word maser. And I want you to look at what it means. It means a tenth part or one-tenth or 10%. It means one out of every 10. Amen. So it means that 10% is what you're giving. If you're not giving 10%, you're not tithing. Listen, you may be giving, you're just not tithing. You may be putting something in the pan. And many people think that you are tithing because you're giving money, and you actually are not. You are only tithing if you are giving 10%. Does that make sense? A tithe is 10%. If you are not giving 10%, you're not tithing. So a tithe or a tithe of $10 is what? $1. A tithe of $100 is what? Okay, so I'm just making sure that's clear. If God puts $1,000 in your hand, what's a tithe? $100, right? So if you put in 30, are you tithing? You giving, but you're not tithing. I'm headed somewhere. All this is important. You may be giving, you're just not tithing, right? A tithe is 10%. The question then has to become, a tithe, if I'm supposed to give 10%, it's 10% of what? What am I supposed to be giving 10% of? Which leads us to the second myth, and that is that we decide what we tithe on. That's another myth. I've talked to many of you who have said, well, Pastor, I don't like to give money. I tithe with my time. Well, the amens that went down. I tithe with my talent. I tithe with my service. I tithe when I come down there and help set up the chairs. That's my tithe. And come on, I think I got one amen. Listen, but the truth of the matter is, God has very specific instructions on what a tithe is and what he will receive at tithe, right? What should we be tithing on? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, read the first one. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits. That's a New King James. A New Living Bible says, honor the Lord with your riches and with the first fruit of, first of all you grow. The NIV says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of, watch this. So the Bible says that when you tithe, God says that he should be receiving three things. Number one, a tithe is not time. A tithe is always substance, possessions, material, or wealth. Always. I challenge you, go in the Bible, look up tithe. It's always dealing with material, wealth, possessions, substance. Now, some of you think that because you're giving your tithe or you're giving your time that you're actually tithing, but I'm going to get to it in a second. You cannot tithe with your time because it's defeating the purpose of the tithe. In the Bible, your tithe is always materials, possessions, or wealth. That means you cannot tithe your time. You can give it, but you can't tithe it. That's the first thing. When you tithe, it has to be possessions, materials, wealth, or riches. Now, for some of you who still think you're tithing with your time, I gave the illustration last time that shows you're not even tithing with your time. Because the Bible says that there's 24 hours in a day and 28 days in a month, 672 hours per month, 10% equals what? Anybody giving 17 hours a week? I ain't talking about if you work for the church. We ain't talking about that. And anybody tithe. So the truth of the matter is, even if you were tithing your time, you're still not tithing. You're still behind, right? So God says, first, when you tithe, he says, honor the Lord with your substance or your possessions or your materials. And then he says, and with the first fruits. Did anybody remember that? We talked about that. God says that the tithe is supposed to be the first fruits. And that's where so many of us are messing up with tithes. He says, your tithe is the first fruit. I want you to think about a harvest where they have apples. And they have all these apple trees. And when the fruit gets ripe, God says, you honor me with the first fruits that come off them trees. Listen, and that is the key to tithing. See, many of us don't tithe because you do everything else and try to give God what's left. Wrong. God says, you honor me with the first fruits that come off them trees. In other words, the first 10% of that comes off that tree is mine, and you live off the 90. How many know we do the opposite? We buy everything that we need to buy. I got to get my nails and my hair, eyelashes, my toes done. I got to get the purse done. I got to get Cox Cable done. I got to get GRU done. I got to get everybody else done. And by the time you get done with everything else, you ain't got no money for nothing else. Go ahead and tell the truth. And then you say, y'all know you've heard this said, I ain't got enough money to tithe. And the truth of the matter is, some of us spend more money on McDonald's. I read a statistic that said, on average, giving by adults who attend U.S. Protestant churches is $17 a week. Y'all don't think I need to talk about tithing? $17 a week. Now, y'all know McDonald's is what? The Happy Meal, about that went up to about $7 now, $6, $7. And y'all know if you go to Starbucks, a Starbucks coffee, Grande or whatever it is, it's about $5, $6, $7. Add that up over the course of the year and get your giving statement from the church at the end of the year. And you may find out that you've been spending more on coffee than you have supporting the work of God. And God says, when you tithe, the first fruit comes to me. And then he says, off of all thy increase. So he says that the tithe should be progressive. As your salary goes up, so should the tithe. It's amazing how much we love to give when we make a little bit of money. But when you start making more money, I can't give all that money to the church. When I was making $30,000, $3,000 a year was okay. But now that I'm making $100,000, $10,000, man, I think the church is doing all right. I mean, they don't need that much money from me. But do you not find it amazing? Who's the first person that you run to when you have a problem? So let me move on. Okay, so when we tithe, we give off of our substance. We tithe off of the first fruits, and we tithe off of all of our increase. The third myth that we have to deal with is that tithing is optional. Look at your name and say, tithing is not optional. It's not optional. Many of you believe that when you work, that all the money that you make is yours. And that's a lie. And the reason why I'm telling you this, I taught this last week, that the truth will set you free, right? You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you don't know, it can't set you free. Amen. Listen, the tithe does not belong to you. Let me show it to you. We did this quickly. Leviticus. Go there to the next one. Read this with me. Leviticus 20, 27, 30, and 32. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is. Do you see that? God says that the tithe belongs to me, and it's holy unto me. Amen. So in other words, he said the tithe is what? It's holy. The tithe is the first 10%. One out of every 10. 10%, the first 10%, does not belong to you or to me. It belongs to God, and he says it's holy unto me. Amen. Right? It's sacred unto me. I have a purpose for that. It doesn't belong to you. Now, what happens when somebody takes that something that doesn't belong to them? What do you call that? So if God puts $1,000 into our hands, what belongs to him? The tithe is his, right? So in other words, he's saying the first 10% is mine. The other 90 you can use for whatever you want, but the first 10% is mine. Amen. What happens if you decide that I saw a nice pair of shoes And I just couldn't say no. I was Barbara Andrews, and I saw a hat on sale. And so I can't get it with the 900. I need 950. And God gonna understand. And you take that 950 and you put 50 in, what have you done? You need to understand that. Listen, the Bible, that's what Malachi 3:8 is getting at. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And God says, in what? Man, I tell you, I hope some of us don't get to heaven and find out you got a big debt that you need to pay. Because God says, you've been taking what's mine and spending it on everything that you want rather than giving it for the purpose that I designed it to do. Okay, let me move on because I got to move on. So that's another one. The fourth myth that we dealt with was that the tithe and offering is the same. How many of you heard that? Is that the tithe and offering? Completely wrong. A tithe is totally different than an offering. If you think about it, it should make logical sense. A tithe is what's owed to God. It's the first 10%. It doesn't belong to you. An offering is a gift. Right? It's something that you decide to give. A tithe, you ain't got no choice. It's supposed to be God's. Right? So an offering is something that's over and above the tithe. Watch this. Some of us are coming and you giving money in church considering an offering, and in actuality, all it is a deposit on what you owe. And y'all ain't saying amen. Listen, if I gave you $1,000 and the first 10% of it's mine, how much is that? $100. And you come in and you say, I'm offering God $30. How much do you owe me? You see, you owe me $100. The offering don't come into play until you at least met the tithe. You owe me $100. You ain't giving me no gift by giving me $30 and you owe me $100. Does that make sense? So an offering is on top of the tithe. You need to hear what I'm saying. The tithe, you don't have a choice because it doesn't belong to you. The offering comes out of the 90% that does belong to you. Does any of that make sense? Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Y'all need to fix my clock because as far as I'm concerned, my clock ain't even started, Brother Frazier. So I'm just telling you right now, that clock, y'all better get on that. Okay. My time ain't even started yet. Okay, so let's move on to the next. Okay, so the fifth one is that tithes and offerings are not required under the new covenant. How many have heard that before? That you don't, the Bible doesn't say in the New Testament that you have to give a tithe. I mean, that's all under the old covenant, right? And the reason why many people believe that is because there's not really a specific scripture in the New Testament that says you have to give tithe, right? There are some that kind of address tithe. Let me give you one, for example. In Matthew 23:23, listen, it says, Matthew 23:23, Jesus was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, all substance, all materials. You notice he ain't saying nothing about no time or talent. He says, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. He says, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Did you hear that? He says, you should have done these without stopping doing the others, right? So you have some who say, well, Jesus was saying in the New Testament that you still had to pay tithes, but you have to understand underneath that verse, the new covenant hadn't started yet, right? Jesus hadn't died, and so the Pharisees were still under the old covenant, and so he had to tell them that they needed to abide by the law and do what they says to do. Perhaps the biggest one that people hold on to with saying in the New Testament you don't have to pay tithes is the famous 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. We quote it all the time. And it says, But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. How many of you heard that before? Watch this. And so what happens is, people hear that and they assume that because God says that I'm supposed to give with a cheerful heart and let every man examine his heart, and whatever it is he decides that he wants to give, let him give. Under the new covenant, we don't have to pay 10%. We just give whatever it is that we want to give God. Listen, and you missed the whole point of the tithe. First of all, that verse is really saying in under the new covenant, you shouldn't have to be forced or compelled to give anything. You should want to give, because under the new covenant, you ain't got to do all the old stuff that you have to do under the old covenant. So you should willingly want to give, right? But more importantly, listen, for all of you who may believe, I want you to just listen to what I'm about to say, okay? Because I don't always hear this all the time. For those of you who say under the new covenant, I don't have to give 10%, listen, I don't believe you understand what the purpose of the tithe was when it was originally given in the first place. Watch this. If you understand why the tithe was given in the first place, I think you will understand why you have to at least give the tithe under the new covenant. Can you follow me on that? Listen, so let's look in the old covenant. Why, this is important. Why did God establish the tithe in the first place? Why did God say, take out 10%? Because there's something that I want to do with it. Why did he do it in the first place? Number one, he did it to compensate. Somebody say, to compensate the priest and their staff for serving him. The reason for the tithe under the old covenant was to compensate the priest and the staff who served him. Look here in Numbers chapter 28, verse 10. Notice what it says. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land, nor shall you have any portion among them, for I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. The 12 tribes, when they were entering into the land, each tribe got an inheritance of land and different things in there, but the Levite tribe did not receive an inheritance. Why? Look there in verse 21. He says, behold, I have given the children of Levi what? All the tithes in Israel for what? As an inheritance. Why? What work is it that they perform? Do you see that? The Levite tribe, the priestly tribe, the tribe of Aaron, they got no inheritance, and God says, I'm going to establish the tithe to compensate you for the work that you do. Amen. How many know that preachers still got to eat? Come on, somebody. Amen. How many know preachers don't like driving bicycles down the road? Amen. Can I ask you something? Y'all like benefits on your job? I like benefits on my job too. And God says, I've called certain people to come and serve you in ministry, and the tithe is the way that I compensate them. He says in verse 22, hereafter the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear their sin and die. In other words, you couldn't serve in the temple unless you were a priest, unless you were appointed for it. Verse 23, but the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Watch this, verse 24, for the tithe of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. So the tithe was to compensate the priests. Look here in Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 35. Not only the priests, but all the people who work in the church. Look and say, it's everybody who work in the church. That's what the tithe is for. Notice what it says, Nehemiah 10, verse 35, and we made ordinance to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all of our trees year by year to the house of the Lord, to bring the firstborn of all of our sons and our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstborn of our herds and of our flocks. Why? To the house of our God, to the priest who what? Minister or serve in the house of God. We're going to bring forth our first fruits of dough, our offerings of all kinds of trees. You'll notice it's not talking anything about time. It ain't talking about your talents. It says of all of our trees, of all of our wine, our oil, to the priest, to the storerooms of the house of God, and to bring the tithe of our land to the Levites. Why? For the Levites should receive the tithe in all our farming communities. And the priests and descendants of Aaron shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive this. Going down to verse 39, for the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the grain and of the new wine and the oil to the storerooms where the articles of the sanctuary are. Watch this. Where the priest who minister or serve and the gatekeepers and the singers are, and we will what? Watch this. So the tithe and the offering is to compensate, basically, can I say the church staff? Watch this. Watch this. And I'm headed somewhere with this. Okay, let me move to the next one. The second reason was that the second purpose of the tithe when God originally created was to care for the disadvantaged and the poor. Okay, watch this, Deuteronomy 14, 28, it says, at the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. Why? So that the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates may what? Come and eat and be satisfied. The widows, the fatherless, those who had no means, those who were the poorest and the disadvantaged. God says the tithe was so that they could eat and be satisfied. Hang on, I'm going somewhere with this. Let me give you the third reason. The third primary reason was to build and take care of the temple. Look at your neighbor and say the church need to be taken care of. Tithes and offerings is how that's done. Number Exodus 25, 2 through 8 says this, and the Lord spake to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Notice what it says, of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Why does God say of every man that giveth it willingly? Do you know why? Because the offering is something that you decide to give. Notice he didn't say that about the tithe. Why? Because the tithe already belongs to me. Amen. Watch this. So he's saying, let every man willingly choose to give me an offering. The tithe, you can't choose. It's already mine. So he says that they should bring in the offering. Skipping down, he starts talking about what they should bring, blue and purple and scarlet and so forth, onyx stone, so forth, so forth. When you get to verse 8, he says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Watch this. So the purpose of the tithe under the Old Testament, listen, follow me on this, because some of you don't think that it's still needed. The purpose for the tithe when he originally created it was to do three primary things. It was to pay the staff of the church. It was to pay for the hungry and disadvantaged. And it was to build and keep up the temple. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Have any of those things ceased?
No.
Is there still a need to keep up the church? Amen. Watch this. You don't have the temple anymore, but how many of you know that the temple was the place to where they worshiped and received instructions? We don't call it the temple because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We meet in places called church today. And how many know that the church still need to be kept up? How many know that when the roof need to be redone, they don't take time? My amen is down, went down. Last time I checked, GRU don't accept time. They need cash. You can't pay them in that. Right? The church has to be kept up. The church has to be expanded. How is that done? It's done through tithes and offering. Why am I talking about this? Because we are in almost in contract to buy most of the land that you see around this church. I've been praying for this, thanking God, y'all. I will be so happy when I can come in and make the announcement that it's done. But I can tell you that we are in much conversation about all this land you see around the church to buy it. But how many know you can't buy it without money? Now, God can do anything. He can make people give it, but the people we talking to right now ain't talking about giving it to us. It takes money, right? And to take care of the church when this carpet needs to be replaced, it takes money, right? That stuff has not ceased, right? In fact, if anything, it's gotten worse. Think about this. When God established the tithe, it was only for the nation of Israel. You were only talking about maybe 2-3 million people. The gospel now has expanded infinitely to billions and billions of people. So do you think that he can minister and build churches for less than 10%? Come on, man, y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Can he do it for less? Okay, the tithe is to help people and feed them, right? Has that stopped? In fact, if anything, it's only gotten worse. Why? Because as the church has expanded, there's more people who need to be fed. Why in the world do we think that you can feed more with less? I guess that's the multiplication thing of the fish. No, just as the tithe was purposed to meet the needs back then, at least you need 10%, really more to do it now, right? What about pastors? Has the need for church staff ceased for them to be paid? Amen. Yes, thank you. I figured I would get one amen. No, listen, so for everybody who thinks, oh no, we don't need to pay 10% anymore under the new covenant, my question is, the purpose of it in the Old Testament, has any of it ceased? So why in the world do you think God will require less? If anything, he needs more because there's more people. See, you know, what happens is, when it comes to money, it exposes the heart. And the truth of the matter is, we all look for reasons to get out of stuff that we don't want to do. But when you think about it, some of you say, well, Pastor, do pastors still really need to get paid? Y'all like to go on vacation? I like to go on vacations too. Can I tell you, my time's gone. Can I tell you, I used to make a whole lot more money before I came to the church. Amen. And I don't say that in a negative sense because God provides in other ways. But let me just tell you that, you know, the working for the church is a privilege and an honor, yeah. But I like to make just as much money as y'all make. Amen. Come on, somebody, let me go on and move. Listen to what Paul says. Even in the New Testament, listen to what he says, 1 Corinthians 9:13-14. He says, don't you realize that God told those working in his temple to take for their own need some of the food brought there as gifts to him? And those who work at the altar of God get a share of the food that is brought by those offering it to the Lord. Look at verse 14. In the same way, the Lord has given orders that those who preach the gospel should be supported by those who accept it. Do you see that? Watch this. So that means the tithe. Listen, how many of you know you can't function if you don't know what's coming in? Come on, pal. Watch this. And that's the problem. Listen, I was at a service. I'm not going to say which. Anybody ever been to a service where they have like 3, 4, 5 offerings? Man, I was at a service, And I'm not trying to talk about any service. Every church kind of does it its own way. I'm telling you, it must have took about 20, 25 minutes for them to do the offering. Y'all think that our offering is long? It was a good 25 minutes. And they were there counting the money in front of everybody. Listen, and some of us look at them and say, why in the world are they doing that? You know why they're doing that? Because people in that church ain't tithing. And you know why they're doing that? Because that pastor in that church got to pay the mortgage on that building. They got to get enough money to pay GRU. They got to get enough money to pay staff or whatever else that they have. And so they got to keep asking people 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 times to give money because the church can't function if the people ain't giving. Well, I know y'all look at people and you say, man, Bishop Jakes and all these people, they, you know, these preachers, they all about the money. But can I tell you something? Ministry shuts down if ain't no money coming in.
Amen.
Who am I talking to? Some of you, listen, you wouldn't work for a job if you didn't know when your money was coming in. If your boss say, well, I ain't got it all today, I'm just going to go ahead and give you $30. You know what I mean? You'd be like, hold up, Doc, my mortgage is due. Wait a minute, I ain't got it all this week, so I'm just going to go ahead and just give you what I got in my pocket. It's what I got left. Come on, y'all. As a church, what's my man? See, we have to be serious about the work of God, and God says, even on the new covenant, if you being fed, you got to feed the hands that's feeding you.
Amen.
Listen, and I know all of you ain't tithing. Listen, I may not know exactly names because in this church, I don't keep up with that, right? I don't have anything to do with that. Thank God I have one of the most awesome, oh my God, life-saving. In fact, she must have got it from her mama. But man, we are so blessed to have one of the most responsible, just own it people back there in Linda Means. She handles finance. I mean, she is on it. I don't have anything to do with it. Here's the thing. So I don't know what anybody here is giving. I don't have anything to do with that. But one thing I know she tells me is that everybody ain't tithing. How many know you can tell? If I see the same amount for the last 15 years, man, you need to switch jobs or something. Or if I see $10, $10 is a tithe of what? Is that all you're making? If you're making $100, I feel like I need to help you. You know, I feel like we need to help you. But here's the thing. We can't function. I'm trying to encourage you. Remember the principle. Tithing works by giving God first, and then learning to live off of the 90. Amen. The church can't function. We can't buy land. We can't staff people here at the church that we need to staff if we never know when money's coming in.
Amen.
Now, let me say this. It's not all dreary and bad. Thank God that we have a church here of many people. I would say we I don't know, Linda would have to tell me, but I know we got people at this church who tithe. We've had that for the last 30 or 40 years of people who tithe. Listen, and that's the only reason why you don't see us doing 5, 6, 7 offerings here, asking people, now we need $20 more. I think we need everybody to give $3 more. We don't have to do that because we have a core group of people who tithe. Listen, but imagine what else we could do if everybody was tithing. Imagine the programs that we can have for youth if everybody was tithing. Imagine the buildings and programs and things that we could offer if everybody was tithing. And that's what we're shooting for. So I want to encourage you, if you're not tithing, get your stuff in order and stop robbing from God and pay the man what you owe him.
Amen.
Let me close. Father, in the name.